Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Coburg Police Chief Paul Vandegraaff delivered his 2026 budget with a whopping 20.5% increase. The Police Services Board approved it unanimously, although board member Sean Graham was absent. It was sent to the town for approval. This increase is five times more than the target set out by Coburg's mayor using his strong mayor powers. In this interview, the chief will defend his decision. He argues a number of factors are at the root of the increase. This includes things like the current level of demands by residents for service, and a budget reduction in 2025. The chief also says there is nothing left to cut. Finally, if his budget is passed, he promises a single-digit increase next year. Listen carefully and see if you think the chief's case makes sense. On today's show, I have Coburg Police Chief Paul Vandegraaff. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Once again, thanks for having me back.
Chief, can you confirm you got approval from the Police Services Board for a budget submission with a 20.5% increase, yes or no?
Yes.
And can you also confirm you understood the mayor directed the police service to submit a 4% increase using his strong mayor powers, yes or no?
Yes.
So we're absolutely clear then, you have submitted a budget that is five times more than requested by the mayor. Is that correct, yes or no?
Mathematically, you're spot on, Robert.
You can imagine there are people listening who will hear this and not understand why or how you could possibly do this. So let's begin with you defying the mayor's request. How were you able to do this?
Let's back right up. So the mayor, with strong mayor's power or without, cannot supersede the role of a police services board. A police services board has its authority regulated to them through legislation known as the Community Safety and Policing Act. So the process is completely scripted that a board, a police services board, is responsible to ensure the budget provides for adequate and effective policing, forwards it to council. Council then has the opportunity to deliberate the budget. They have a couple of choices. They can return it to the board for further review or pass it. A strong mayor power has no language such as that in the CSPA or the Community Safety Policing Act. And that's why in my opening remarks, I stated very clearly the directive of the strong mayor powers is purely performative.
Now, could you explain to listeners what you mean by performative? What does that mean?
It's politics at its best. What we have here is that they're arbitrarily selecting a number, a 4% number, plus some other conditions about corporate services revenue and the like, that has no context to the real outcomes of fulfilling our legislative requirement under the Community Safety Policing Act. It would be inappropriate for the board to arbitrarily pick a number out of the hat, and therefore, without the context of hearing all of the risk and opportunities that exist. So when I say it's purely performative, it is purely that. It is, I'm going to set the budget at 4% with having received zero context to what goes into creating the police estimate.
So just to, again, to be clear, the mayor did not come to you and say what's going on with the budget and discuss this in advance to understand the pressures and restraints that you're facing. Am I correct in saying that?
You are correct. And the mayor has actually relinquished his position on the police services board that is founded in legislation, and he's designated it to another person.
So let's break the budget down. You are justifying this increase by saying you must meet the terms of the Community Safety and Policing Act. You've referred to that already. Why did you not take a small increase to ease the blow on taxpayers instead of choosing, as you said in your remarks to the board, quote, reflect the true costs of policing?
So let's go way back. I've been very clear that we have been working over 3 years to reach the new act. The new act has been in the works and kind of in place for the last 3 years, and that we knew what those legislative changes were. In fact, in 2024, for this year's budget, I presented about a 14% increase, which the board at that time, in hindsight, is a great thing. They made a decision to pull money from reserves, which are artificially lowered that 14 down to 5. And now we're in this year of trying to correct that. It's a lot of talk, but I want to be really, really clear. Last year, the budget could have been or should have been 14% increase, which would have been very consistent to a lot of other municipalities, either policed by municipal services, regional police services, or the OPP. And this year, we would have been around 10%, which again is quite consistent. In fact, the OPP capped all of their increases at 11%. So we would have been in the ballpark. We would have been consistent. So this wasn't sudden. This wasn't protracted. Like, this was we had a plan. We knew exactly what it was going to cost. And in fact, in 2024, I presented to the board that there were roughly $900,000 of impact by the new act. So anyways, long story short, and everybody's admitting that in 2024, for this 2025 year budget, there were some mistakes made. We're correcting those. And in fact, this year's budget is just that. There is nothing new in this year's budget.
There's a lot in there, and it's a bit confusing. So maybe we could help the listeners better understand. So how do you define true costs versus, like, other municipalities like Port Hope, for example? They went in with a 10% raise. You did mention the OPP at 11%. Could you not take a more gradual approach this year again?
We've actually been doing the gradual approach over 3 years with capital expenditures coming from the corporate services revenue. And in fact, the gradual approach. So last year we knew that we needed to meet the act. We needed an intelligence officer. We needed a few other positions that were legislated. So the board approved hiring of 6 officers. We call that staggered hiring because they were hired in 2025 in 2 different chunks. Well, in 2026, their entire salary comes to roost. So that's why there's a bit of a disparity in a 20% this year versus a number last year. But when we stagger hire and you don't fund the entire person's salary at the time the decision's made, you're run into the cascading effect, if you will. In other words, we used to call that pushing the can down the road. So that's what's kind of happened this year, in that we've had a few, we had that staggering hiring. We had some strategic hiring around human resources and wellness people. So we had a few different hiring pieces in 2025 that are coming to roost in 2026. But as I was questioned at the board meeting, no new hires for 2026.
But all the same, you mentioned earlier that you had pulled from reserves. Why couldn't you do the same thing again this year to lessen the impact and again, spread it out over time? I mean, you do have that business services arm of the operation that generates well over $2 million.
So at current time, the current total tax levy is only one manner in which the cost of policing are covered in Coburg. We also have provincial grants that cover a fair amount, core security, and a few other projects. And then we also have a reliance on the corporate service revenue of $2.8 million already. And council, with the board, collectively, they passed a new memorandum of understanding in relation to corporate service revenue that actually prohibits the over-reliance on that revenue for operational policing. So actually, I think it was about a month before the mayor's directive on budget increases, council approved the MOU. So we are merely complying with what council has asked through staff to create a path forward so that we're not overly reliant on that revenue to offset the cost of policing.
In your budget, it has a line item that says general protection budget, and it's gone up $10 million. That's a huge increase. Can you explain why?
So that would be the overall reliance on the tax levy. And again, that really boils down to this year, we had a bit of a perfect storm. As I said, we had that staggered hiring, which comes to roost. We have some strategic hiring, which comes to roost. We've just settled a new collective agreement. And a new collective agreement has salary increases, has other benefit increases and other conditions that exist within that. Obviously, we're continuing to, like, we're done now. Like, we are fully compliant. We are fully adequate and effective over a three-year tenure. And we are really looking at what the community is asking of us. And we are really trying to represent what it is. So really, for us, it translates to about 1.6 more on the tax levy. We're not considering population growth in this budget. We're merely looking at what we did last year to what we're going to do this year. And it is realizing all of the possible grants. So yeah, the 1.6 increase on the overall tax levy is that portion of the overall cost of public safety.
But could you not have done a hiring freeze? I mean, if you had some sense that this was going to eventually catch up to you, why didn't you not take some mitigating action and not hire people? Or, you know, instead of hiring two people, hire one person. I mean, you could have done that. Could you not?
Yeah. So again, like I said, we're hiring nobody for 2026.
No, I understand that. But
you mean last year?
Yeah. Like you must have had some sense that this was coming down the pipe. You seem to have had a plan. So could you not have said, look, this is not going to be good. We're going to end up with this massive increase.
So we presented a budget. The job of senior command is to present a budget to the board. We presented a budget to the board that included those six people that ensured that we met the effective and policing standards and the new regulation. We have an obligation to be adequate and effective. And we provided a deliberate plan 3 years out, which the six came to roost in 2024/5. And again, when a decision is made to not fund the total value of that person in the year you hire them, you end up with these impacts. The decision to not hire six was really not a decision, because then you're relying heavily on overtime. Then you're relying heavily on callbacks of staff. You will then see enhanced burnout. You will then see increased disabilities. And I'm really proud from where we were to where we are. Our disability management reintegration processes are bearing real fruit in that we are well below the provincial average of absenteeism. So my thinking is the board heard the right business case. We have the right amount of people here in Coburg to provide the level of policing that the community expects. And unfortunately, we just hit this year because of a mistake last year where the big number looks bad.
You talk about adequate and effective policing as being a reasonable, considering the community needs, as you just articulated them, area characteristics, similar community and best practices. But if it comes down to a choice between a 20.5% increase in the budget and reducing, say, community patrols or some other specialized program like MHART or Homelessness and Addiction Response Project or Safer Streets, why not reduce or cut some of those to meet a target that's lower?
So adequate and effective policing means I have to have effective community patrol, means I have to have an emergency response, means I have to have crime prevention assistance to victims. So MHART is funded in a good chunk from partnerships. That's important. We need to do that. When I've been asked by other people, Chief, how come you didn't cut this unit or that unit? Well, quite frankly, the units that we have working, gone are the days where I have three or four officers teaching in the elementary schools. Gone are the days where I have an officer as a media relations person. Gone are the days that I have an officer tied up into reviewing case files for intimate partner violence. I have a robust criminal investigative unit, which does a ton of the work to meet the adequacy standards. We have the right amount of people on patrol to provide emergency response, crime prevention, and community patrol. I believe I'm adequate and effective. And if there are, and when I say there are no cuts in this budget, and I mean that, there are no cuts in this budget, the only opportunity there is to reduce the cost of this budget is a Section 53 action through the CSPA, which the municipality needs to write to the Inspector of Policing and say they would wish to downsize the size of the police service. And to do that, I suspect, because it'll be brand new, it'll never been done under this act in Ontario, I suspect that somebody would ask me, Chief, what do you need to be adequate and effective? And I would say, what I have. We're in a position where if we looked at this budgeting error going back a year, we would have been at 14 and 10-ish percent, given all of those other things that kind of hit here, new contracts, new communication costs, adequate and effectiveness. I would say we were incredibly consistent with every other municipality in Ontario.
But I can understand some listeners may be listening to this and saying, you know, every time we listen to a bureaucrat, either at the municipal level or someone like yourself, it's always we're hamstrung. We've got all these mandated services. We've got all these wages and benefits. We're contractually obligated to meet. You know, there's seniors out there that are on fixed incomes, that these kinds of increases are going to really hammer. You know, what do you say to those people?
I say that public safety is essential. I say that the cost of doing business in our world is changing. The demands of my people are changing. Let's not forget the intersections of homelessness, poverty, addictions, and mental health. 53% increase in mental health calls for services require a very different response. At 5 o'clock in the afternoon, there is nobody out in the community helping us with that intersect. So to the seniors who may see a couple hundred dollar or 200 or $100 increase to their tax bill overall for the cost of this budget from policing, I get it. I get it. Everything is going up. Everything is more. And if there, and again, to quote Ron Kurt on our board, for 7 years, I presented budgets to the board, and for 7 years, he's been able to find something to reduce or something to cut. And in this budget, nobody can find anything because what we call a base budget adjustment. If you're looking at reducing this budget, you are talking about changing the ability to deliver adequate and effective policing. So to those seniors, I say, well, I'm so proud of the Cobourg Police Service and the service we deliver. I understand that this is a difficult pill, a very difficult pill to swallow. But I truly believe moving forward, we have righted the course. We've been proactive in rolling out the new act. We've realized all those costs. And if everything stays the same, next year we're going to be back down to our single-digit increase requests.
Are you prepared to guarantee that?
As I have the numbers in front of me right now, given the salary increases, the percentage of my dollars that equal, and everything else being constant, we are going to be in a single number increase.
What about all the time and resources that go into these community partnerships that you've talked about? I mean, you tell us that the police should not be left picking up the pieces because other institutions and organizations are not addressing critical issues within the community. Their lack of support for addictions, mental health, and homelessness, plus the lack of after-hour emergency responses and other than police. Is it time to walk away from those programs, from those efforts?
There is no choice. We can't walk away. Like at 1 o'clock in the morning, when someone's suffering a mental health crisis on any street in Cobourg, and that outcry is disturbing the peace and rest of other people, we just can't say we're not coming. We are coming, and we're going to ensure that that person, if there's a criminal act, is investigated and held accountable. If it's a mental health crisis, we're going to get the person the help they need, because there are no other options. There is no
But
sudden
why
development.
aren't you holding those organizations, those other organizations, feet to the fire and saying, we can't afford to do this anymore? Look what we've got to do. We've got to raise our budget by 20.5% just so that we can stay on top of stuff that you guys are supposed to be looking out for. Why aren't you making that argument to them?
I make that argument regularly versus upper tier versus lower tier organizations. The social service provider has an obligation to do their job. But at the end of the day, and I'm sure the listener understands that, I have the responsibility of ensuring our residents are safe. If I wasn't called to every person who was sitting in a park, sitting on a park bench, maybe dealing drugs, maybe not dealing drugs, maybe using drugs, maybe not using drugs, a tent here, a tent there. Obviously, our call load isn't going to continue to increase, but until there's a greater change at the provincial level, maybe even the federal level, I don't know where it begins. It begins somewhere, but I can tell you, listening to the CBC this morning out of Barrie, they're starting to see, based on their service manager program, a small dip in the amount of homelessness visible in the municipality of Barrie. I think we're in the same boat, but you've seen the push and pull, the tug and throw locally at the county level here. At the end of the day, my responsibility is that the Coburg residents are safe, feel safe, and understand that their calls are being answered. We cannot say no. The men and women of our police service will not say no. And we will make sure that we do our job by standard, by regulation, and to the best of our ability.
But you can appreciate that there are people listening and watching all this unfold that say, you know, the community may want this stuff, and they tell you this, but now there's a choice that the public needs to make. I mean, is it a choice between a Cadillac police force versus a Kia Soul?
I hate the analogy of cars or no frills versus farm boys. I absolutely hate it. Your public safety is essential. Regardless of the shoulder flash providing it, the costs are the same. Port Hope, Peterborough, Belleville, I'm just thinking of the rural, the local region that we fit, Durham, all of those police services, same increases, same percentage increases. Nobody's sitting, no police service that I know is showing a reduction in budget, including the OPP. And at the end of the day, we're not picking a Kia versus a Cadillac. What we're saying is the community here in Coburg has spoken. They've delivered what the expectation of policing is. Our mayor said prior to that, enough is enough. He wants everybody using drugs. He wants the full side of Bill 6 rolled up. He wants everybody arrested. He wants everybody in courts. Well, guess what? You're not doing that with 4%. At the end of the day, we provide a fair and reasonable policing service delivery model that meets the regulatory adequate and effective. We are not well exception exceeds, like we're not the Cadillac on adequate and effective. We are adequate and effective, and we are delivering a police service that we should be proud of.
Is there some kind of strategy in all of this? Like, I remember a time when town staff used to submit a draft of their departmental budgets, and it would be like a wish list. And then politicians would have a look at them, and then they'd send them back with comments. And then there'd be this more realistic budget within a targeted increase. So you start with a 20% increase, and the mayor wants 4%, and, you know, you start off at around 8 or 10%. I mean, is there any of that going on here?
Nope. Not a one, because we've done that. We did that last year. It was 14%. 14% is what the bill was. The board did exactly what you just said, Rob. They said, oh, we can get this down. Let's do this. Let's do that. And erroneously, they grabbed this one-time funding from the reserves, and they make that, what I call that, that fake arbitrary number of 5-point-whatever percent it was last year. And again, it comes to roost. I don't make it a habit of asking for 10 when I want 4. That's never the way I've operated. The board fully understands that if I ask for 6, I need 6. If I ask, so the year before I asked for 3 officers, I got 1. I needed 3, I got 1. That's why 6 became 6, because we were proactive. We were planning on how many people we would need as the act rolled out. My opinion, I present a budget. As a senior command, I look at the historical budget increases going back to 2016. There's 2 0% budgets in there. A 0% budget when you have a salary increase of 3% is in fact a 2.2% reduction in budget or defund. So when that ball started to happen back in 2015 and 16, to catch up, it's going to catch up. And this year is that catch up. And we still have work to do, trust me. With that 2.8 reliance on corporate service revenue. But again, from the taxpayer's point of view, we never ask the taxpayer for any capital, no cars, no equipment, nothing, nothing. That all comes out of corporate services. Additionally, we fund up to $2.8 million to offset the cost of policing, unheard of in the province of Ontario. Also, we are amazing at writing and getting and receiving grants through the partnerships that we have with the province. Again, all part of the process. We have the hospital in town. We have the courts in town. There's a lot of things in Coburg that make us very unique. So the constant referral and reference to Port Hope, the two are apples and vegetables. They're not even apples to oranges. It's just very different circumstances.
You've mentioned already that council can send the budget back to you. What if they do that with the arguments you've been making during our conversation? I mean, what happens then?
Well, unfortunately, I truly believe we're going to be into a really tough time. I just don't understand where this is going to go. So the board has passed its budget. The budget process is unclear. So we will present our budget to the town. I don't know whether I'm presenting to council. I don't know whether His Worship, through strong mayor powers, and his task force are going to create a budget. I just don't know the answer. Any other year in my 35-year policing career, I could easily show you the path. But as I understand it, there is nothing to cut. I'm not hiding any millions of dollars in any buckets. So I fully am very comfortable in saying this is the correction, because of, again, that year mistake, but this is the correction that needs to happen. This is the contractual obligations. You're not going to just stop paying people. You're not going to do those things because you're going to be into a different arbitration. So unless the mayor sees it and understands it and accepts it, I suspect there's going to be a Section 53 ask of the Inspectorate of Policing to review this budget.
Last week, when the Police Service Board approved this budget, what was the vote? Was it unanimous?
We had one person absent, and it was unanimous.
Who was absent?
Vice Chair Graham.
There was a policing study done by Northumberland County Council that you flatly rejected. If policing costs are going to go up by 20.5%, is this a time to reconsider that study and possible alternatives?
Okay, I flatly rejected that study because I still stand by the fact that Strategy Corps' study was solely an OBP delivered model. Is there efficiencies to be had in creating an amalgamated police service? I would have to say yes, because you don't need two chiefs. You may or may not need two deputies. You may not need two dispatch contracts. But getting there is going to obviously cost money. So obviously a fair study conducted wholly to understand the total cost and return on investments, done wholly, I would support 100%.
Would you initiate that?
It's not for a chief of police to initiate that. That would be for councils and boards.
Would you recommend it?
That would not be for the chief to recommend that. That would be something that the chief would be a consultant for.
Why wouldn't you recommend it?
Because it requires a whole lot of work that's well outside of my job description, in the sense that I can't ask for it. I can't support it. If I were to vote against it, I would be seen as guarding an empire. If I was voting for it, I would be seen as taking over an empire. So as I've said for years, when this issue of amalgamated services came up, councils need to come together, decide this is something they want to investigate. And when they do that, staff go to work presenting reports so that they have a fulsome understanding of the advantages, disadvantages, opportunities, and risks.
But you see a rationale for it from your perspective right now. Did I understand that was what you were
saying? Yeah, we've historically seen it. Look at Peel Region. Peel Region used to be the Mississauga Police Service, the Chingacoosie Police Service, the Brampton Police Service, and now it's Peel Regional Police Service. Now, maybe that was a bad example. It's not without its problems, most recently in political history. But Waterloo Region, I believe there was a Cambridge Police Service, Kitchener, and then so there are regional police services that make sense. Is this an opportunity for Peterborough, Port Hope, Cobourg, Belleville to create one? I don't know. Where's the province on this? When we looked at the regionalization of policing about 34 years ago, I think, in Ontario, if I mark my time correctly, maybe 36 years ago, the government, the provincial government, stepped in and said, "Hey, we need to start thinking about this." And truly, I don't know where it begins, but locally there seems to be an appetite. So if councils want to discuss that, both councils have heard a motion. Both councils have debated a motion, and my understanding, both councils have turned down a motion to discover opportunities for an amalgamated service.
So just to be clear, I know we've talked about a lot of things in our conversation today, but just for clarity for the listeners, where does the budget go from here?
So right now, the budget is passed by the Police Services Board, and it will be forwarded to the municipality. And I don't know from there what happens. And I'm not being coy, and I'm not being silly. I'm just merely being truthful. My team will forward the budget to Mr. Giddings, and we'll await the next steps.
Chief, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you very much.
That was Cobourg Police Chief Paul Van de Graaff.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.